This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
Alrighty, welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Steve Ulscher hanging out with the lovely Mary Goulet. Hi, Mary Goulet.
Hello.
We got White Wade holding it down in the studio, and Kelly Polker is running things for us on the production side as well. And, you know, we cover a lot of ground here on Reinvention Radio. And for those who have been rating and reviewing and subscribing to the podcast edition of the show, we love you and appreciate you. And for those who have been joining us live here on Reinvention Radio every Thursday from 12 until 2 Pacific, well, thank you for that as well. And you can join the live feed at reinventionradio.com. And if you want to join the conversation, the phone number is 866-977-2346. And, of course, we'd love to have you as a part of the conversation. And actually, we're going to have some folks join us today. This is one of those things, Mary Goulet.
I know.
That we need to talk about. And I have put a little bit out on social about this one because...
Oh, you did?
I did, because I termed it as a very important edition here of Reinvention Radio. And that, I think that's really what we're talking about, is just a very important subject. And what we're talking about very specifically here today is, well, suicide.
Yeah, reinventing the stigma, suicide stigma.
Suicide stigma. And I guess the question is, what does, first of all, why do you think there is stigma attached to suicide in general? Why don't we just start?
Okay, so
there?
I think it's twofold. One, there is a stigma for individuals or family or friends of a person to admit, acknowledge, and bring to the forefront mental illness, depression, bipolar, anything in that realm. A person could be confused because they don't understand why they feel the way they do, and don't know how to say to someone when they look functional, but they're very low and blue. And then if they deem that the best way out of that feeling is to take their own life, that then goes to the family and friends again, and they're like, we don't know how to figure this out. I mean, how they didn't reach out to us. Every one of us would have helped that person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's so much around it that is.
But do you think there's a stigma then in and of itself of asking for help and taking the medication?
Absolutely.
And that stigma is
shame.
What? Shame?
Embarrassment?
Like a sign of weakness?
Yes.
Like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, name any of those. And I work with a group called Survivors of Suicide Loss.
Okay.
They're an organization in San Diego County. I think there's 13 to 14 chapters. And you know, it's on the rise in the military as well.
Yeah.
So they have a group right here across the street that meets.
And across the street would
in
be...
In Naval Miramar.
Yeah, yeah.
Because people getting together and talking with other people who've lost a parent, a child, a spouse, a sibling, a friend.
Yeah.
It's prevalent. There are new people in the meetings every week.
Yeah. All right. So we're talking suicide today here on Reinvention Radio. And we've got a couple of certainly someone who's very important to us here at the Reinvention Radio crew, which is our own Kelly Polker, who is the producer of the show. And so Kelly will be joining us. But we've also got Mary Beth, who decided to join us here on the show. And let's actually bring Mary Beth on right now to talk about this very important subject. Mary Beth, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing the best I can.
All right, why don't we do...
That's my new mantra.
Hey, you know what? I think that should be everybody's mantra, because that's really all we can really do, right? Let me ask you this. So for those who don't know you or know why you were really inclined here to call and join the conversation, can you just give us a little bit of an understanding about why you wanted to join this conversation today around suicide?
Okay, well, first of all, I went to high school with Kelly, so my deepest condolences to her and her family. Mm-hmm. And she actually reached out to me to share my story.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. I lost my boyfriend 7 months ago. Mm. And since that time, two more people have taken their lives of people that I'm close to in my life. And after, you know, Stephen died, I had so many people reach out to me saying, my sister took her life, my cousin took his life, and it just really hit home to me how prevalent it is. I guess I don't know if I just wasn't paying attention. Mm-hmm. Until it impacts you, you just really don't realize, you know, what an epidemic it is.
It is an epidemic, Mary Beth, and when we were talking in the first part of the segment about it, there's a stigma around it. That's why you didn't hear about it. Because family
Absolutely,
and friends...
there's a stigma.
Yeah, there is. And we just have to accept the fact that there is mental illness in people, and there are programs out there to help people preventively, not like the Survivors of Suicide Loss Organization and many others are post suicide and trying to help the families and friends and loved ones cope with what is going on. But to your point, it's an epidemic and it's constantly happening. We're not 6 degrees away from someone. We're half a degree.
Mm-hmm. I lived in the same house. This was a man that was the sweetest, most fun-loving person. Again, everybody was in shock when it happened. But as, you know, as him and I lived together and in our relationship, I found out that he did have issues with depression from a very, very young age. And he hid it by being funny and joking all the time. And I truly believe he didn't want people to see that side of him, but it did start to come out, and he tried to do things such as meditate.
Wait, can we, I'm sorry, Mary Beth, hold on 1 second. I just want to take a step back here because I want to talk about the ways that it came out, right? Because there's a lot of people who
don't recognize it.
Who don't recognize. So when you say it came out, what do you mean?
Sometimes he would just, you know, be sitting there and just get very, very quiet, or he would nap a lot and sleep a lot, or you know, we'd be on a trip, and at the end of the trip, all of a sudden he would just get really quiet and not talk, mm-hmm. or we'd be out with people, and he would walk into another room by himself, mm-hmm. and I'd say, "What's wrong?" And he's like, "Oh, nothing. I just getting lost in my thoughts." Mm-hmm. And he did talk to me about it. I mean, we were in a long-distance relationship for a while before we got together and lived together. And he was also going through a bad divorce. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes you attribute, you know, something awful, you know, something bad that's going on in someone's life, and you kind of attribute it to that. But in my case, as we talked, he finally admitted to me that he'd been battling this since he was young, and that when he was in his 20s, he went into a hospital. So I was one of the only people that knew that. Mm-hmm. Some of his best friends didn't know that because he didn't want to share that with them, and he didn't want them to know. Because, again, I think he didn't want people to think he was weak. Mm-hmm. Or crazy. He used to use that word crazy. He did not want people to think he was crazy.
Yeah, and the divorce could have been a trigger to reactivate what he was keeping, at least coping with, all of his adult years. And then it's just
right.
tough to shake the stress, the anxiety, and the depression.
Right.
That's the stigma on his side, yeah.
At the end of the day, you know, he went on medication, and 10 days later, he took his life. And that's when we start to talk about mental illness and more research. I have found out, you know, very recently that there's a simple DNA test that people can take to help to make sure that people get on the right kind of medication, because first of all, mental illness is so difficult to diagnose. Mm-hmm. There's so many facets. There's so many chemical things that go on, and you know, medication can be helpful or it can have the worst possible effects.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really important to make sure, first of all, that you're going to the right kind of doctor and you're answering the questions truthfully about the symptoms. I mean, I don't know if, in my case, if my boyfriend actually told the doctor that he felt suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know exactly what he told the doctor, if he was honest about all of the things that were going on.
Yeah, and so thinking, we have to go to a commercial break in like a minute or so, but having someone managing, coping, figuring out how to get through the day with that low-grade blue feeling, or maybe just wanting to check out and sleep,
mm-hmm.
some of this stuff is a little bit normal, and it can be situational. Like, yeah. Oh, I'm struggling financially, or my relationship is a little tough. There are certain things that we grow, you know, difficulties can stretch our soul.
Yeah.
Adversity can make us stronger. But if our chemical system is off and there's too much of that, it's a barrage of all these things, to make that leap to considering, oh, this might end my pain.
Mm-hmm.
That they'll, you know, there are two types. And more prevalently, the people who get that dawning and then they plan and carry it out and not let anyone know.
Mm-hmm.
Or there are the people that try to say something and try to get more help.
Yeah. All right, we're going to have to take a break here on Reinvention Radio, and we'll definitely be talking about
call,
this, yeah. Taking another call here and talking more about just reinventing this whole stigma, if you will, around suicide and just what we can do to try to identify some of the warning signs, and what to do when you see someone or know someone who may be exhibiting some of these signs, what you can do, and then. How do you move beyond this if it actually happens? And as Mary Beth said, just doing the best that she can, that's pretty much all we can do is the best that we can. All right, my friends, really important conversation here on Reinvention Radio. We'll be right back right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All righty, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Steve Ulscher hanging out with the lovely Mary Goulet. Hello, Mary Goulet.
Hello.
And we are talking about reinventing the stigma of suicide. And we had Mary Beth come on in the last segment and share with us a little bit about what has been going on with her and the loss of her boyfriend and a couple other people that were a part of her life. So, Mary Beth, we'll ask you just share one last thought with us here, and then we're going to bring on a couple of others to talk about this. But anything else that you want to make sure that folks know when it comes to this whole conversation around suicide or keeping an eye on those who you love or something that you've been able to do to get yourself through this? Anything else you want to share with us?
Well, you know, maybe I'd like to talk about helping people get through it. You'll never understand it. The most important thing I can tell people is to see a counselor immediately. You can rely on your loved ones and your friends, but you really need, just as the person who we lost, we had wished that they would have gotten the help they needed, it's important to take care of yourself. And for people who know people who have loved ones who have died by suicide, reach out to them. Tell them that you're sorry. Grief makes people uncomfortable, but especially when someone's grieving because of a suicide, people have a tendency to shy away because they don't know what to say.
Hence, stigma.
And the support is everything. And do not use the word commit. Commit is a violent word. Someone died by suicide and passed away by suicide, and their life matters just as much as someone who died from cancer or diabetes or any other illness.
Well, and I consider it an emotional cancer. And they fought the emotional cancer for as long as they could, and it won.
Yeah.
And so there are support groups for survivors, and I just reach out and find them. Because they're awesome to go to.
Yeah. Well, Mary Beth, we are certainly sorry for your loss and
losses,
right? And wish you strength as you move forward from here. So thanks for sharing your story with us. All right. Well, let's do this, which is I want to bring our own Kelly Polker in. And Kelly doesn't typically come on the line with us, although you did in the past, Kelly, but it's been a while since we've had you on here. And I wish we were having you better on here under better circumstances. But, man, you've had just an enormous amount of loss over the last, 6 months or so. I mean, with friends being killed in motorcycle accidents, and now most recently your nephew committed suicide.
Yep, and so don't say that word.
I'm sorry. I'm supposed to say, what am I supposed to say?
What did die by say? Suicide.
Die by suicide. Mm-hmm. Okay. So first and foremost, you know, obviously our hearts go out to you on that one. So really, really sorry for your loss on that. And you want to share with us kind of what you're thinking at this moment, Kelly?
But first off, hi.
Hi.
thanks for agreeing to do this show. I appreciate it, and I think it's just so important to just create more awareness around it and not be afraid to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
As frightening as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, I think I was just going to say, Mary Beth made a good point. You're never going to understand it.
Right.
So part of the conversation stops before it begins because we don't know what to say to understand why this happened. And, you know, a lot of times we just go in a circle. I look back and now I see the signs, and I look back and I should have listened more carefully, or I should have heard what he was really saying. You know, there's, and then we start doubting ourselves, blaming ourselves. And it's still the standard 7 stages of grief, but shrouded in a stigma of shame, embarrassment, confusion, all sorts of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it literally is just an emotional roller coaster, and to, you know, I mean, certainly this last one hit much closer to home for me. But it's been so hard to just see my friends, you know, the people I care about, my family and friends, just suffering so much, and they do go through that. All those cycles, and almost in a flash at once, and you know, not knowing how to feel, feeling guilty, feeling overwhelmed, feeling mad, sad, angry, everything, mm-hmm. all at once, and you just don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then there's also the part that some people who die by suicide, family and friends, have to should consider they want to celebrate that person's life. And not make it just about the ending, but make it about who they were and all the wonderful things and the wonderful stories. That does help. I remember when my friend passed away 18 months ago, we were all stunned, destroyed. It was really like a pillar in the community and succumbed to this. But then we made sure, like his birthday is today. So we'll see, photos of him and talk about him and talk about all the cool things he did and how smart he was and businesses and father of three children. That's where we need to get to. Because to this day, I can look at his photo and go, what the hell?
Yeah.
We were all here for you. What the heck would, you know what I mean?
So, Kelly, let me ask you this then. Did you have any idea? Were you close to him? I mean, is this somebody that you saw on a consistent basis?
No, he actually lived out of state.
Okay.
And you know, he's only 22 years old, first off, young, and you know, they all struggle with things and deal with different pressures and stuff in life. And I know he went through some stuff. I talked to him the last time that he was home, and you know, you talk to people, and even like my other friend's brother, where everybody seems fine, and you see them, and they seem okay, or you make that one call to check on them, or you don't call them back, or something, that it just, you don't know really what kind of place that they're in, because even when they tell you that everything's fine, it's really not.
Hence the stigma again. They don't want to admit they don't understand it themselves, why they feel this way.
I think a lot of that, too, is that they don't understand that other people, they don't see that anybody else can understand where they're at to relate to it in any way and to really know where their mind is. And
So was this your brother or your sister's child? Who was this?
My sister's son.
So in talking to your sister then about this, did she see anything? Has there been any discussion around any sort of signs or anything to look for or anything that kind of gave her a clue that there might be something going on?
Do you know what? I don't think that we've really even had that discussion. Things have been around.
Too fresh, I'm sure, too.
Yeah, and, you know, having to go out of state to make arrangements and all of that stuff. So, I think even when you see signs and you recognize it and you talk to the person, like I said, it still doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to talk truthfully with you and they're going to, you know, try to pull the wool over your eyes, and some will, some won't.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things in talking with friends or something that I read recently about this was, you know, we get to that point of feeling guilty about not returning a call or whatever, but there's a lot of people that we all have a few in our lives that just constantly complain about everything and just they're always, you know, venting, but you know, maybe that's their way, that we just need to stop and listen to them and listen intently for somebody to listen, for them to really have somebody to listen, you know, not blow them off and not look at your phone and all that. Give them your absolute attention.
Well, and another thing, look at their life and what they're going through. Like I said, with Mary Beth, maybe the divorce was a trigger for Steve. And like my friend, he had a lawsuit going on. His wife had divorced him that he never... Not you, Steve.
Oh.
Never got over.
It's like, you know something I don't?
There were certain things in his life. He lost a big deal that he was working on. And so a person who had such a perfect life and then things started imploding on him, those types of things need to be paid attention to by loved ones and friends.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. All right. So let me ask you this, Kelly. As someone then who has now lost someone that, I mean, granted, a nephew, he was younger than you. I mean, it wasn't your sister. It was someone, though, who was very close to you. But I could see if it was somebody who was your own age, you know, group, and maybe you grew up with them and spent a lot of time with them, the relationship would be a little bit different. But still, this is someone that's very close to you. How do you move forward? I mean, this is a huge loss. I mean, this is someone that was close to you. How do you move forward?
I think you just pull from the strength within and surround yourself with the people that you need to. You hug your kids a little tighter and try to ask them a little bit more, you know, about their world and make sure they're okay. And it's, you know, I mean, we all have to keep moving forward. no matter what. It sucks, and, you know, you take it one day at a time and do the best you can. There's going to be good days. There's going to be bad days.
Yeah.
It's going to be good minutes of the good days, and there's going to be bad minutes
gonna
of the
say,
good days.
Yeah. So I go to my friend's house. We're coming up on the break, but I go to my friend's house, and there's her brother's picture right there. I'm like, really? Because it's like, bam, all brought to the forefront in that nanosecond. And I was thinking about, oh, I'm coming over to go to dinner, and then process it again. And that's what we do. We just keep processing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's the way that they will live on in our lives, too. I mean, we can't just pretend that they never existed, because that would be doing an even bigger disservice to this whole thing. All right, well, really important conversation here on Reinvention Radio. We will be right back after this.
Looking to be a successful entrepreneur? The virtual assistant industry continues to be a top choice for those looking to start their own business. The problem can be how to become a virtual assistant. Many turn to the Bible of the VA industry, the book, Virtual Assistant, the series, and it's the perfect guide for office managers, executive assistants, and other administrative professionals looking to make the transition from employee to successful business owner. Go to vatheseries.com to get your copy today.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
Alrighty, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Steve Ulscher hanging out with Mary Goulet. Hello, Mary Goulet.
Hello.
And we're just joined there by Miss Kelly Polker, our producer extraordinaire. So thanks, Kelly, for sharing that story with us. And wait, do we still have Kelly there? Is there anything else you want to add, mm-hmm. Kelly, before we let you go here, as far as just this whole stigma or moving forward or warning signs or anything else around this whole conversation with you know, about suicide that you wanted to add before we let you go?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, just the more openly we talk about it, and I feel like I'm kind of being a hypocritical right now as well.
No, but you're
but it's
just
like, you know, I you know, I'm not here to share intimate details about what happened with my nephew, because I don't feel that's my place to do on a public platform.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, out of the other breath, I'm saying, you know, we need to talk about it more.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of ironic, but it's
but you don't have to talk about it in the several days. It's just down the road, your thoughts will be a little clearer, and that's when we can make a difference in people's lives.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, Kelly, really appreciate you coming on and being willing to share what you did share, and just provide some hope and inspiration for folks here that reality is we can move forward and will move forward, and as much as it hurts, it's one of those unfortunate things in life, as you know, as Mary said, it's just, you know, emotional cancer to some extent, and some people mm-hmm. die at a very young age from other diseases and afflictions, and it's a horrible thing when they do. And in this case, the emotional cancer, as you call it, unfortunately took the life of your nephew, and we just appreciate you being willing to come on and share what happened. So thanks, Kelly, and big hugs. And
no problem. Thank you.
And we love you. Yes.
Can I add one more thing? Thank you.
No, your time's up. Sorry. Yeah, no, of course you can.
You know, it doesn't matter. You have to
right.
be that way.
Yeah.
No. Oh, wait a minute. Who is it that does things that says Kelly's going to smack me right now?
Yeah, that's me.
Right.
That would be me. Yes.
Now, I just want to add, I mean, I lost a girlfriend to death by suicide many years ago as well. It took me 4 months to even find out that it had happened because her family didn't care to let me know. But the point of that is, you know, I made it a point with her after that happened that I would always check in with, you know, the really important people and my friends and stuff every 6 to 8 weeks just to make sure they were okay, whether it was sending them a text or calling and just saying, hey, I'm thinking about you or anything.
Yeah.
So I would really encourage people to do that, and I've tried to stick by it. My one friend never understood why, you know, I would keep doing that, and I finally explained it to her one night. She's like, I'm so glad you told me, because now I understand.
No, it's a great idea.
Why are you calling me every week, Kelly? Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I should probably tell you why I'm calling you every week. Now you'll accept my calls a little more, you know, easily. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not just a pesky stalker or something like that. I just generally, sincerely want to know that you're okay.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, we need more of
anyway.
You. We need more of you in our lives, Kelly, that's for sure. So, all right, big hugs to you, and we will talk to you really, really soon. All right, you know, and it's interesting because my mom actually spent about a week with us, and she just left yesterday.
Oh.
And on Tuesday night, you know, we hadn't been able to spend a lot of time together, just various things going on from a business perspective that I had to contend with. And she spends a lot of time with the kids when she's in, so it's just, it's a nice opportunity for her to do that. But I didn't spend as much time with her as I usually do. And the night before she was leaving, she was sharing just how she's kind of in her own fragile emotional state. And I think the term that she used was that she's just grown weary.
Oh.
And feeling tired. And as an entrepreneur, which she has been for really her whole adult life, yeah, there comes a time where just having to continually make rain.
Yeah.
And I mean, you've just always got to be creating, selling, marketing, and it's tiring. You know, it's tiring. And I think it just kind of hit her that she's just tired and just weary. And unfortunately, you know, she's doing okay, but she's not to the point where she feels like she can just completely stop working. So she just kind of hit that wall and was, you know, was pretty upset.
So what did
emotionally.
You, how did it go then? You just listened and?
Just listened, told her to man up and no, I, no.
You're
of course
terrible.
Not, right? No, I, no, of course, just listened and tried to reframe some things for her and
good.
Give her some perspective on where she is at and where she can go and some possibilities and opportunities for her. But I know the dialogue. The dialogue that's in her head is the same dialogue that was in my head and still creeps into my head at times, which is that whole dialogue of no one's in my corner. I feel alone. It's a struggle. No one values me. I feel like I'm wasting my life. I feel like all of these opportunities have passed me by. I feel like I've made so many mistakes. I mean, all of these things that we say to ourselves when we're in those dips, you know, in those dark places. And it's hard. You know, it's hard.
Hmm. So how does Lena respond to that type of thinking?
When I get in those places,
yeah.
I am a lot like Mary Beth's boyfriend. It's not one of those things where I'll just sit there and start randomly sharing about my thoughts of depression or.
Because you don't want to hear yourself say it?
When I hear myself say it, I know how pathetic it sounds. When it's in my head, it actually doesn't sound so pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
But when you actually say it, then it's like, God, that sounds pathetic. But it's also because most people that I know that who end up in sort of those depressive states don't want to burden other people with their thoughts that are negative. We have enough negative stimuli without someone else coming at us and going, my life sucks and I'm depressed and I'm so we feel guilty and we feel like we'd actually be burdening the other person. Like, why would I want to bring that person down? And so I think ultimately what we have to be able to do here is to let people know that you're just being real with me. And I'd rather you be real and be authentic and share what is actually going on and know that, you know, I don't have to absorb how you are feeling and what's going on in your life in order to still take that in and process it. It doesn't mean I have to become it.
Right.
So simply because you're saying, this is how you were feeling, it doesn't mean that I am also going to be going down that dark hole necessarily with you. As a matter of fact, most natural instincts will kick in the opposite direction, where I'll actually want to be that rope for that person. I guess that's a really bad analogy. I will want to be the one to lift them out of that hole.
Yeah.
Right? And be the hand that helps them out of that hole. Not only, of course, because I've been there, but also because that's just human nature. I think when we see people struggling, 99.99% of us want to help that person, and we just want the opportunity to be able to do so.
Yeah, and that's where I wanted to do Reinventing Suicide Stigma.
Yep. So we appreciate you tuning into this show from Mary Goulet and Kelly Polker and Wade and...
And the national hotline number.
And, yeah, of course. Let's give out that number, Mary. What is it?
1-800-273-8255. 800-273-8255. Call today. Reach out to someone you love. Check in on them.
All right, my friends. We love you. Big hugs. We'll talk to you next time on Reinvention Radio. Take care.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olscher, visit reinventionradio.com.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.